It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With the first pick. The Chicago Bears select.
The Bears Nation Podcast, powered by ONTAP Sports Network.
Let's begin now.
Bears head coach Matt Eberflus.
We really feel that the acquisitions that we've had so far have been outstanding. We added all the skill to the offense. Running back with Swift, on the outside with Keenan, and you know, Everett at tight end, paired with DJ and Cole, are going to be tough to cover.
New Bears wide receiver Keenan Allen.
Definitely excited about the new opportunity, being with a new organization. Anytime you got two guys that can make plays and beat man coverage, it's going to be tough.
It's the Bears Nation Podcast with Kevin Lapka and Jake Hassan.
Both men of Chicago.
It's Bears Nation, baby.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Let's go.
Myself, Jake Hassan, joined as always by Kevin Lapka. How we feeling? It's over. We finally did it. It came, it went, everything happened. First pick went exactly how we thought. It ended up being Caleb Williams. You get Roma Dunze at number 9. I guess we'll start there, Kevin.
You start with Roma Dunze?
Well, and in tandem with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, look, it came and went, and it finally happened. And aren't you glad it's over? Like,
yes,
I am.
Yes, 100%. I'm so glad it's over.
And the fact that just like everybody the past couple of days has been on the same page here about what occurred and what's next for the Bears, and the excitement is shared, right? Like, there was such a division in the fan base, and now we are at this point where we can all be on this same train and road together of like, okay, we know how good this team can be. We got a very exciting player at 9. Let's all believe in what Caleb Williams can do. There's no reason to believe the contrary, right? And let's just all be all in on this together. So an incredible moment. We'll go pick by pick in this draft. We'll break down each pick one by one, and I'll give you a detailed review of what I think about the Roma Dunze pick, because I was the one who predicted a trade down actually at 9. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk about Roma Dunze there just because I didn't think he'd be available at 9. I think that's amazing. We didn't do a ton of like prospect profile stuff on him before the draft. So this would be a good time to do that. And then Torrey Taylor, we'll talk about him. Karan Amagaji, that was great. And then the trade for Austin Booker. So, you know, all in all, obviously, Jake, like, if you want to give it a wholesale review, it's an A-plus draft, right? Like, I think Sure. Everybody would agree. You see it any outlet, any media outlet, they're grading this an A-plus. So we'll go one by one with these picks. But, like, I got to be honest, and I hope most Bears fans share this feeling, has this not been, like, the best week in a very long time to be a Bears fan? Like, that's really the way it feels for me. I haven't felt this good about the team in the moment and the future of the team in probably 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like pure vibes go, I will say like the week leading up to the Packers game was a pretty good, like we were having fun. Like it was a good, like we were, the vibes were high, like things were starting to look better. The immediate aftermath was obviously not great, but I will say the week leading up to that game was fun. As far as just like how much fun we were having talking about the team. But yeah, I mean, this is by far, because like, how can you not be hopeful about the team, about the outlook, about what's going on after you have a number one overall draft pick? You take a quarterback that everyone seems to consensusly say has all the tools, at least to be generational, has all of the tools to change your franchise. And then you get a stud wide receiver too, who some people had graded as the best wide receiver in the draft. Depending, like you got one of the big three, as far as receivers go. So that's awesome. You know, seeing Caleb Williams kind of invent the bear claw hand signal thing, and he's all in, and he was wearing the Chicago undershirt the whole time at the draft, and he revealed that afterwards. And, you know, Rome Odunze is trying to do his introductory Zoom conference, and Caleb Williams comes in the background like, we're here, let's go. So, yeah, I mean, I will say for the first time, and I mean, as far as off-season week goes, and this, it does technically count, it's the best week since the Khalil Mack trade happened. Like, it's the best week, and that was, like you said, 6 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, you haven't played a game. Nobody's taken a snap yet, but it's hard not to feel good about, on paper, where things stand.
Yeah, and let's start with Caleb, all right? Let's do that part here real quick before we get into Rome Odunze, because I'm fascinated by what we have seen from him and how this has all developed, right? Because again, it's so funny to me how, and I was victim of this too, right? There were admittedly, quote unquote, character questions. And I don't know if that's the right way to phrase it, but we didn't know who this guy was early in the process. And that was part of the reason I was like, well, you know what you have out of Justin Fields. He's a guy who's going to go to work and whatnot and all this. And like, you know, I don't have a problem with the way he handles himself. And we had heard things about Caleb we didn't know. And it's just every little thing he does, press conference, video, social media. It's like with every little thing, he becomes more likable in my eyes in every single way. Even if it was yesterday, posted on Instagram in his car, intentionally, Jake, listening to Love Sosa by Chief.
Saw that, yeah.
This guy gets it, and it's really refreshing and exciting to see the way he has embraced being a Bear for the 5 days that he's been the Bear, right? You talked about him inventing the bear claw. You talk about him on social media. You're posting jersey edits and being excited and talking to his teammates and reaching out to the other guys that were drafted. And we'll talk about the text message he sent to Torrey Taylor and all these different things. And Jake, it just gives me, you know what it gives me? It gives me like rookie LeBron vibes. It gives me types of vibes where, okay, he knows, he's very well aware the conversations that were surrounding him the entire offseason. Generational prospect, can't miss. Some heralded him as the best prospect since the last 20 years, right? Since Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, and those are the same things we said about LeBron. Now, obviously, for LeBron, it was a different level. He came out of high school. He was the chosen one. I wouldn't say Caleb's like on his level as far as, you know, pre-draft hype, but
it's not that. It's not far though. Like it's
not what.
It's not far. Like it's within that same sphere. I would say. Like it's obviously not 1-to-1. But, I mean, we've been talking about Caleb Williams for 2 years.
Yeah, it's comparable. And really, if you were relatively tuned in to college football or high school recruiting, it's been 3 years, right? And it's been since he went to Oklahoma and took over the job for Spencer Rattler, who, let's remember, at the time was going to be the number one overall pick coming out. It was expected to be the number one overall pick that year that he was in Oklahoma. Obviously, that fell apart. Now he's a fifth-round draft selection to the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. But I'm just getting these LeBron vibes, and it's just, and the reason why too, Jake, is just this confidence and just this assurance to himself that he will be great. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. Now, I said this on the Better Egg on Saturday. I said, boy, oh boy, is freezing cold takes probably, you know, building up a ton of material if this does not work out well. But this is the type of confidence you need to succeed in the NFL. And Jake, it's just not the type of confidence we've seen from any quarterback to be a part of the Bears franchise before. Just this overwhelming level of belief in himself that he's going to be great. And the way, and I think people underestimate the way that rubs off on your teammates, the way that rubs off on your coaches, and the way that rubs off on the city. Like, I believe the confidence in himself is part of the reason that everyone else in this city is so excited and has the belief that he is going to be great. And that is a special thing. It's a rare thing. It's a risky thing. It's a dangerous thing as well. Like, again, sometimes you can be overconfident and it bites you in the ass, but this city hasn't seen a quarterback like this before. And to me, I didn't think it would, but it has gotten me incredibly excited for who he can become starting in year one.
Yeah, and it's obviously, you talk about expectations, but it's hard not to be excited. And I know we did all the, I mean, like you alluded to, like all we've, it's been going on for so long that it's gotten nitpicky at a certain point where we're like, okay, like, well, have you seen him against a good defense? And have you seen him? Blah, 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 blah. Like at the end of the day, this is a guy that led college football, all of college football, in touchdowns, in touchdown throws that were more than 40 and 50 yards, in big time plays. And it's just, as a consensus, and if like people who get paid way more than we do to watch these games and watch these prospects and watch these guys all seem to agree that this is an A-plus move for the Bears, and I'm going to take their word for it.
Yeah, I'm going to take their word for it too. And look, let's be real. You know, like a lot of the concerns that I shared early on in the process, like some of them still exist. But again, we have to consider that when we were talking about these things, you know, in February, in March, they didn't have Keenan Allen on the roster. We didn't know where they'd go with the wide receiver room. We didn't know what they'd do in free agency. And now what we've seen is this front office and coaching staff put together a team around Caleb Williams that gives you more reasons to believe that he'll have success as a rookie and reasons to believe that this is different from the other times that we've brought in a rookie quarterback in the first round, right? I mean, this situation is unparalleled to any of those situations in any situation in NFL history, which is why I have more confidence in this. And yes, the coaching element is still real, right? And I said to you, Jake, look, you know, we can have this conversation real quick before we talk about Roma Dunze. Like if Caleb, and we've been saying this from the jump, I said, if Caleb Williams is as good as we all think he is, then there is no reason the Bears should not be a playoff team in 2024. Like, I'm sorry, if he is LeBron James and we're making these comparisons, and if he is, you know, this unheralded guy as a rookie, they're going to win 10 games with the schedule that they have and the team that they have. Just based off the fact that they have a top five defense, they could be a top 15 offense and be an 11-win team. That's just how it works. If you look at what they were last year, history suggests that that can be the case this year. So, I mean, from day one, if he's as good as you think he is, the Bears are a playoff team in 2024. Am I wrong about that? I mean, that is the way I see it with the way this roster has been built.
Yeah,
and that's the expectation.
Right, and you take into account the schedule, too. You get the Panthers, you get the Patriots, you get the Commanders, all teams that were at the top of the draft with you, and let's be honest, have worse rosters than you do as far as talent, pure talent goes. So you have that, and I think you have the AFC South as well. So you get the Colts, who are essentially going to be in year one and a half of Anthony Richardson. And you get the rest of that division outside of the Houston Texans, which they don't scare you. The Texans do, but the rest of that division, I mean. So yeah, I mean, given what you have and your schedule, like, it's hard not to say that playoffs are the expectation. I agree. And that's coming from me. So I'm sure once we get to the schedule, I'm going to find a way to only say 8 or 9 wins because that's what I do on this podcast. But yeah, I mean, I am with you in that I see the path to 10, 11, 12 wins. And we'll see how it goes. Obviously, there's going to be ups and downs. There always is with a rookie quarterback, even with CJ Stroud's year last year. He had some issues. He had some injury issues, too. So it's hard not to get too far over your skis right now. But, I mean, we've been saying it for weeks. This is the best situation for a number one overall quarterback to walk into possibly ever.
Yeah, without a doubt. And where I was going at the start of this was just like, you know, I heard Ken Barkley and Nick Costas on your show, You Bet, You Bet, talking about this, about how, you know, are people giving J.J. McCarthy a better chance to succeed? Not really because of the weapons. I think you could really compare the Vikings' weapons and the Bears' weapons. Obviously, Jordan Addison clears any players that the Bears have, but having Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore clears just Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. But the main argument was, well, J.J. McCarthy has Kevin O'Connell and Caleb Williams has Matt Eberflus. And that's really the only thing that is preventing people from being like all in. And really, from like we did from the start, it's going to be in the back of our mind. If the Bears miss the playoffs this year, Jake, I would believe Matt Eberflus gets fired. And if that's the case,
it's possible. It's on the table.
It's on the table. And you start to go down a really, really scary road if that happens. Because the argument that a lot of people make is if Caleb Williams is also as good as you think he is, he'll be coach proof. He'll be good no matter the coach.
Sure.
And I just don't believe that to be true. I think as a quarterback develops in years down the road, they can become coach proof. Mm-hmm. But in your first couple of years in the league, understanding how to operate in the NFL and play against NFL defenses and the most fundamental years, no quarterback coming out is coach proof. It's just not how it works. So that is still in the back of my mind. Because and I just want to have that there because I myself, and I think you are, and everyone in this fan base has been victim of being like, we're all so excited about this. Mm-hmm. And we're all encouraged about the future. but they don't have Andy Reid as their head coach. They don't have Bill Belichick as their head coach. And that prospect of what happens if they don't reach those expectations that we set so high is a really scary road to go down. Now, we're not going to go down it. We're going to still be positive and happy that this is the way it's shaken out. And they have an incredible opportunity. I think they will believe, I think they will, you know, enhance that opportunity and get to 10 or 11 wins. But that prospect still scares the hell out of me, as it probably should everyone.
Right.
This is the
you're jaded. Finally, welcome to the club. You've learned, you've been conditioned to expect disappointment. But what do you think about just real quick, we do a couple minutes on this, at number nine, staying, taking Roman Dunze.
Yep.
Are you happy with that? Do you think that was the right move? I think it was the right move because of Keenan Allen's age, his contract. You don't know how long he's going to be here. Might only be a year. DJ Moore, even though he's 27, has 2 years, I think, on his contract, including this season, maybe three. So to me, you needed to get the next guy. You needed to get the heir apparent in the wide receiver, you know, fold in the wide receiver turnover. So I was fine with it. Obviously, I agree. I think you're very lucky that the Falcons did what they did and allowed you to get Roman Dunze. But I thought it was the right move. And I said that before in our pre-draft show, too, that I thought if one of the big three receivers was there, the Bears would stay and take him. And that's ended up what they did.
Yeah, you were absolutely right about it. Once again, you have nailed the draft, as you have done in years past. Who did you actually mock to them? I kind of forget.
Adunze.
Did you mock Adunze?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you actually mocked him specifically.
I'm almost positive I did.
Okay, well, there you go. That's a big W for Jake. Look, I mocked the trade down. I thought they would go down, and boy, did they have the opportunity to do that too.
Yeah.
And I bet they were getting calls, because what I figured was going to happen happened. I thought the J.J. McCarthy stuff was all smoke. I read through that all day. I predicted the top five picks in the draft. I think most people could have, but I still made $90 off of it. It went completely chalk like I thought it would. But J.J. McCarthy fell. Bo Nix fell. Now, Michael Penix Jr. getting taken at eight probably took a wrench in some of those things. But, you know, I'm sure the Bears might have had a call from potentially Vegas or New Orleans or Denver, who, if one of those three teams really wanted J.J. McCarthy to move up to nine and jump the Vikings to get J.J. McCarthy. And I think that's why the Vikings had to jump the Jets, because the Jets might have been getting calls from those other three teams. So who knows what the offers were on the table for the Bears. But it's honestly funny, because I mocked the Bears to trade down because I didn't think Roman Dunze would be available in the first place. I thought that he was going to go in the top nine. I'm very happy that they took him. But
well, technically he did go in the top nine.
Say it again.
Technically he did go in the top nine.
Oh yeah, sorry. Before nine. Yes, you are correct. Once I saw him on the same flight as Caleb, and once I learned that they were working out together before the draft, I was like, this is destiny. This is going to happen. Like, are you kidding me? And that tells you some of what you need to know, that look, Ryan Poles probably has told Caleb Williams and Roman Dunze that, hey, if Rome's available at nine, we're taking him. And I'm sure
he talked about a trade up. I mean, afterwards, Ryan Poles said they almost traded up, and Matt Eberflus said, or Ian Cunningham would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, he might still fall to us at nine. Let's hold our horses here. So yeah, I mean, 100%.
And a trade up would have been a little crazy, in
yes,
my opinion.
I agree.
I just love it. That's the conviction in your guy. And I think you're just seeing, and you've already seen it in the days post the draft. Like, there's a relationship that's already been built between Caleb Williams and Romo Dunze on a personal side. And we know that that's going to translate to what's on the field. But when we talk about Romo Dunze as a player, here's what you're getting out of Romo Dunze, all right? Wide receiver is probably like the best position that I can scout out of any position. That's just the one that I feel like I'm best at. And he was my clear number three. I think Malik Nabers is a better player. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is tiers above both of them, obviously. But you are getting a guy who can do everything in Roman Dunze, all right? He can high point the football. He's a solid route runner. He's not an elite route runner. He can make you any type of play in any type of moment. He is just an overall complete wide receiver. And when you think of player comps for a guy like Roman Dunze, you think of Larry Fitzgerald. You think of a guy who isn't outrageously explosive, isn't going to do anything, you know, necessarily freakish athletically, but he's just a solid receiver who can do anything for you, who is just consistently going to get you 1,000 yards a year. And that's what you're getting, or just a reliable guy in Roman Dunze. Super strong hands. If everyone remembers, Larry Fitzgerald, I think, had like 6 career drops. Like, it is an unbelievable statistic. That's the kind of guy you're getting out of Roman Dunze, a guy who's accountable, a guy who hasn't been injured throughout his college career, a guy who's going to stay on the field and just be a safety blanket. And at some point will be, you know, years down the road, once DJ Moore is gone, will be the bona fide number one. But for the time being, he'll just be a guy that Caleb Williams can rely on while Keenan Allen and DeJ Moore are still on the roster. It's interesting because one of the reasons I didn't think they would take Roma Dunze, even if he was available, was he isn't like the best complement for the offense in 2024, right? He's very similar to what DJ Moore and Keenan Allen do, right? None of them are overly sized. None of them are super fast. None of them are going to spread the defense out. They're all really solid route runners with great hands, and they can kind of do things at every level, but no like game-breaking ability for Roma Dunze that people thought that Xavier Worthy has.
I kind of disagree with that.
I mean, would you say DJ Moore is a game-breaking player?
I think that I wouldn't say that that's their style or brand, but I think that Roma Dunze and DJ Moore definitely both have that capability. And we saw DJ Moore do it a couple times last year. I mean, and we've seen, I mean, how many times did Michael Penix throw the ball up to Roma Dunze? They just go, all right, go up and get it. And even if it wasn't a long touchdown, but like just to be able to high point a ball and come down with it 20, 30 yards down the field, I still think that counts. I think that qualifies. One of Roma Dunze's biggest, you know, green flags or qualities or whatever talents you want to call it was that he can just go up and get the ball and that he can make those big type plays, circus type catches. So I kind of disagree. I think he fits really well.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm just thinking about it from the standpoint. Well, and first of all, let me preface it with this. I think there's like six or seven game breaking receivers in the NFL. Like that's I am putting that in a very limited category. Like you're talking about AJ Brown.
You're talking about game breaking as like elite. Like you're just using a different word, like best of the best. Not necessarily like game breaking on a play by play basis. Just as who they are as a receiver.
Right, and I actually don't think Roma Dunze will ever be a top five receiver in the NFL. But he'll just be like consistently solid. He'll always be like top 10, but he'll never be like top five. And that's fine. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. That's phenomenal. We love that. And if the DJ Moore is here for a long time too, you're going to have the best wide receiver tandem in the NFL for a long time, most likely, unless Jordan Addison becomes really good and Minnesota just keeps those two guys for a while. And Jordan Addison's already really good. Mm-hmm. But look, Roma Dunze is just an overall really solid player. I absolutely love the pick. He's a great guy off the field. I believe that connection already exists. Here's the one thing too about when it comes to 2024, I think we have to temper our expectations for Roma Dunze in 2024. Obviously, we know that this is a crowded wide receiver room. And you have to remember who the offensive coordinator of this team is and who the offensive coordinator of this team coached last year. So last year, the Seattle Seahawks had DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and they went on to draft Jaxon Smith-Njigba last year in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Now, Jaxon Smith-Njigba clearly is better than Tyler Lockett last year. Like, we all know that. And honestly, is up there with DK Metcalf. But DK Metcalf's the better player. Now, I don't know what the expectations were for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I thought he should have been in the conversation for Rookie of the Year at the start of the year. Only had 63 receptions, 600-plus yards. He did have 93 targets, and obviously Caleb is probably a better quarterback year one than Geno Smith was last year. But we have to don't put the number for Roma Dunze as like a 1,000-yard receiver year one, although he was a top-10 pick. That's just unrealistic expectations, because whether you believe Keenan Allen's going to be here or not, this is a guy that has high-level NFL pedigree.
Yeah.
We know DJ Moore is phenomenal and is a 1,400-yard receiver last year. I think he got the 1,400-yard receiver last year. So history and the way that Shane Waldron utilized JSN last year just tells me, especially in a crowded receiver room they had in Seattle, that we're super excited about Roma Dunze, and he's a very NFL-ready wide receiver, but the expectation should not be that he's in a 1,000-yard receiver year one. That is just the way I see it in as far as what to expect from Roma Dunze immediately in 2024.
I mean, realistically, if DJ Moore is your only like over 1,000-yard receiver, like on the surface, that sounds bad. But like then you consider, okay, Keenan Allen, okay, Roma Dunze, okay, Cole Kmet, okay, DeAndre Swift is going to be involved too. Okay, Gerald Everett's there now too, your best number two receiving tight end you've had in years. So a lot of mouths to feed. So if DJ Moore is the only guy that gets over 1,000 yards, like I feel like it wouldn't be as shocking, which would be to say that like Keenan Allen's at like 972 and Roma Dunze is at 803 and, you know, Cole Kmet's at 600, 700. So it's like not that the offense is suffering. It's just that a lot of mouths to feed all at once. And you're also still trying to develop Caleb Williams in such a way that he doesn't stare down one receiver and he's able to get the ball to different guys in different situations. So that I agree with. So all to say, I agree with your overall point. What are your thoughts about the rest of this draft class? What happened after Roma Dunze? I mean, to Bruja's comment, like, that's what I mean. Like, expectations aren't that low for a rookie receiver because you have five legitimate pass catchers. You have DJ Moore, who just had 1,400 yards. You have Keenan Allen, who's a guy that has been a consistent 1,000-yard receiver. You have now Cole Kmet, who could still continue to get better. You have Gerald Everett, who will be a consistent contributor. You have DeAndre Swift, who was a 1,000-yard rusher and will be consistently in the passing game as well. So I think that if the expectations are that low, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not scoring enough points. It just probably means that everybody is getting their share. Maybe is there a world where it means you're not scoring enough points? Yeah, it does. And maybe some games that'll be the case. But I think that, and this is a good problem to have. Don't get me wrong. This is like this is a great problem to have. And yeah, you can scoff at, oh, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett. But the point being, take them out of it. You have four legitimate receivers that are all going to get touches between Cole Kmet, Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore. So that's just where I'm at. Are we expecting Caleb to throw for 4,000 yards?
No.
I am not, because I feel like early it's going to be a lot of heavy run game still. I think that the way that the offensive line has been addressed, or lack thereof even, and the money you spent on DeAndre Swift and trying to ease a rookie quarterback, no matter how good he is, how good you think he's going to be, trying to ease him into the transition of the NFL, I think that you're going to see a lot of running early, and they're going to try and take pressure off of Caleb Williams. And so that's the only reason. Not that he can't do that or I don't have faith. It's just I think how game planning is going to go, how distribution is going to go among the pass catchers. I don't see 4,000 yards. Could be wrong, but I'm not expecting that because it seems silly to expect that right out of the gate.
I mean, do you know how many yards he just shot through for last year? Do you have a guess?
No.
4,100. And that was the best season rookies ever had.
Okay.
So to get to 4,000 on its own as a rookie is like pretty insane. So the expectation should definitely not be.
And Stroud missed a couple games.
Is it in the cards? Yes. Say it again.
And he missed a couple games.
Oh, Stroud did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
But still, to your point.
He was throwing for like 450 yards in a couple of those games. Like, and I'm not saying that's not impossible for Caleb, but that's just, it's a hard mark to read. So look, and I know, yes, Stroud had Nico Collins and Tank Dell and all this and all that. Yes, I know. But, you know, Bobby Slowick might just be the next big thing in the NFL. So, you know,
100%. He was getting head coaching calls this past after 1 year as offensive coordinator.
Right. And I think, and to your point, Bruja, I think two wide receivers can be 1,000. I think that's definitely in the cards. But again, and let's do this real quick before I get to the rest of the draft, because I just think this is fascinating. When you're reading out all these names, like I'm gonna read a team. I'm going to read teams here. And you're going to tell me if you believe their offensive skill position group is better than the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
Dallas Cowboys.
No.
Agree. New York Giants.
Be so for real. Keep going.
Malik Nabers. Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Who's going to be their primary running back now? Saquon, right? Yeah, they're better. Philly's still better.
Okay. Detroit Lions.
Mm.
I would say no.
No, because of Goff.
Well, skill positions. Well, take the quarterback out of it. So they have one good wide receiver. And
but Jameson Williams could be really good.
He could be, but the Bears have better.
And Laporta's really good.
He is really good, but all right.
But okay, I'm going to say Detroit. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say I'm going to say Bears are better, right? That's how we're doing this then? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bears are better. Minnesota.
Minnesota better.
Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson. Well, and we know what Addison is. Like, we don't know what Adunze is yet. And Hockenson.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Are we assuming they still have T. Higgins?
Assuming they do.
Yes. Better.
Okay. Houston Texans with Stephon Diggs.
Yes. Like, that's, yeah. Diggs, Dell, and Collins.
Dalton Schultz
and,
is great.
And Dalton Schultz is pretty good. I mean, they have no running backs, but.
San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, obviously. Assuming they keep everybody.
I think those are really the only other teams that could potentially even compete. So our Miami Dolphins are up there too.
But that's yes, obviously. The Dolphins are obviously better.
Okay. Well, so there you have it. You're talking about a top, the way we just put it, six or seven skill position group in the NFL.
Sure.
So when you are the top skill, six or seven skill position group in the NFL, like again, it's just, it's a lot of mouths to feed. If you are a fantasy player, I might not draft any of these guys. Maybe. I don't know. I'll probably draft DJ Moore, but I'm staying away from Keenan Allen, Romo Dunze. The rest of the Chicago Bears draft. I am surprised but impressed by what they did at 75 in round three with Kerryon Amagaji. All right. You are talking about a non-position of need, right? But a depth piece at O-line and a player here who was a three-year starter at Yale. He lined up at left tackle his last two seasons in a, you know, multiple run scheme. Now you have to remember Yale was in the FCS. So he's not playing against elite FBS competition. He was injured for the last half of 2023. But from a pure size and athletic standpoint, like this guy just pops out on film. Rare length, light feet, smooth body control.
He was like, still all Ivy League, even though he only played like four games or some three games this past season. Yeah. It was nuts.
It was nuts. And again, you know.
But in three games to get first team still? Three games? That's kind of wild.
Can't be that hard.
I'm just saying.
No, but even that. No, you're absolutely right. Like this was, and this is a great position to do this at. Huge upside, big risk, I guess you could say, because he's not polished. If he gets thrown into the fire, who knows how he'll react after playing in the FCS and not having a ton of experience in college against high-level competition. But the traits are there, right? That's what this 100% comes down to. And I think the thing that's interesting is the Bears have done this under Ryan Poles. And it's an interesting strategy. And it sounds stupid and like kind of corny, but like you draft kids from Chicagoland. They are more likely to bust their ass for the team. Like, I think that could be a real correlation. And Kerryon Amagaji, there's tweets of him talking about the Bears. Like it was his dream to play for Chicago. So when you're talking about a player who needs to put in the work and bust his ass to be better, like, it's not a bad strategy to grab a kid who loves the team already and will likely do anything he can to help his favorite team, right?
Sure.
Like, I know it sounds corny, but, just draft all the kids from Chicago. And I think a lot of beat writers were, like, making fun of Ryan Poles for doing it, like, a couple of years ago. But when it comes to a situation
I have
like
been
this.
Also, like, let me make that very clear.
Well, it depends. Like, it's different when you're, like, just picking up random free agents. Like, wasn't Robert Tonyan from Chicagoland area and stuff? Like at that point, it doesn't matter. But when you're talking about a draft pick, it's like an added incentive. It's a bonus, right? If you see that on their resume. So, look, I give this like a B. They probably could have had better talent at that spot at a real position of need. Like, they could have had a better edge rusher. They could have had, another safety, maybe. I think we talked about needing safety help, and they didn't get any of that in the draft, and they get a couple UDFAs. But look, what does Ryan Poles know best? Offensive line.
Yep.
And he did a great job scouting Braxton Jones late in the draft. This is a pick that's earlier than what Braxton Jones was. I'm at this point putting my confidence and faith in Ryan Poles that he is a very good talent evaluator at the offensive line position when it comes to the draft. So do you share those same opinions on it, Kieran Amagaji?
Yeah, I do. And he fits the profile of guys that Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham like to target. Like, they like to target these physical monsters with high athletic scores that can potentially turn into just maulers. And I know that, to your point, you could have, should have maybe gone for a D tackle or an edge rusher. But if that's how the board shook out, like, we know that Ryan Poles stays pretty true to his board. And so if this guy can move around too, as Thomas Gage put in the chat, added bonus. Like, if he can kick inside, kick outside, and you did need that depth. You needed to, especially with all the injuries you had last year. So I'm cool with taking him in the spot and taking a swing on somebody with just insane athleticism that, you know, like you kind of said, say what you will about the Ivy League and maybe those not being the best, you know, accolades,
competition.
Like, sure, but it still means something. Like, you were at the top of the top of your competition level, so we'll see what happens. And at that point in the draft, you're taking swings anyway. So this is a guy that, you know, fits the bill of guys that Ryan Poles likes to draft. You know, the Chicago connection, the insane athleticism. So I don't really have a problem with it. I trust Ryan Poles to stick to his board, and it's not like you took, you know, a third tight end or a backup corner. You know, it we'll probably see this kid at some point this year.
Oh, 100%. And I was just going to say, as you started saying that, if there's some issues with Braxton Jones and he has a little bit of trouble coming, you know, in the first couple of weeks, I wouldn't be surprised, as long as Karan looks ready in training camp, if Ryan Poles pulls the trigger and says, you know what, or Matt Eberflus rather, probably going to be making the coaching decisions, pulls the trigger and says, look, we're putting Karan in there. We're sticking him in there at left tackle. We're willing to make that change. And obviously this is the most important position on the offensive line. And it's, you know, a little bit scary to make a change at that position with your rookie quarterback, like a couple games into the season. But if things aren't there for Braxton Jones and they have confidence in this kid who was a higher pick than what Braxton Jones was, then, you know, so be it. Now, again, I don't believe that's the expectation, because he does need a little bit of help with his technique and just being a more polished, you know, blocker on the left side. But some guys learn at faster rates than other guys do.
Braxton Jones did.
That's exactly right. So coming out of training camp, if he looks good, you know, maybe there is a competition at left tackle. Maybe that helps make Braxton Jones better as well.
Sure.
So look, and this pick was going to bother me a little bit unless they got an edge rusher, because I still think that's the biggest need on the team. And we could talk about Torrey Taylor real quick, but let's go to Austin Booker first before we go to Torrey Taylor, just because it coincides with this. So I was a little bit worried about them after they took Torrey Taylor that they missed out on an edge rusher, but to trade back up and get Austin Booker was something that I predicted them to do. I didn't expect them to trade up for Austin Booker. I thought they'd maybe trade up for a wide receiver or another depth piece. But they do get Austin Booker. They do get their edge rusher, who at the time of the Torrey Taylor pick, I believe, was still heralded as the best edge rusher on the board. Mm-hmm. So they pass on him. They take the best punter of all time. And then they go back and get the edge rusher that was still available for them when they took the best punter of all time. So a masterclass by Ryan Poles there, using the 9 picks that he has last year. I believe they gave up the 2025 fourth rounder. Back up into the 5th round to get Austin Booker. But this, Jake, is basically your next Dominique Robinson. Great athlete.
True.
Very limited college experience, more limited than Amagaji, but led the team in sacks, tackles for loss, and forced fumbles last year, coming off the bench for Kansas. So he started at Minnesota, played there for 2 years, wasn't getting a lot of reps, transferred to Kansas, and then got a ton of experience there. You're talking, again, about a great, great athlete, but a guy who just needs to learn the technique of the edge rusher position. You know, he's lining up wide of the offensive lineman a lot, using a lot of his speed and athleticism to get around the edge. But when you're going up against the best left tackles in the NFL, you're going to need a little bit more than that. And we saw that when it came to Dominique Robinson. We had the same conversations. We said, I don't have a problem at all with them taking a flyer on a guy who's a great athlete who has limited experience at the position, because if you have faith in your coaching staff to mold him into something else, you could be getting like a massive steal, a guy who should have gone in the 2nd round but dropped this far just because he hasn't played the position for very long. And we talk about what the Bears have built from a coaching staff perspective when they bring in Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator coming over from the Buffalo Bills. He's regarded as being a phenomenal developer of talent up front. So that's why I'm encouraged about Austin Booker, is because not only does he have that athleticism and skill, but he's now walking into a coaching staff that I believe has a better chance to develop him than the coaching staff did developing Dominique Robinson at the time. So, and I think Austin Booker's obviously a better prospect than what Dominique Robinson was coming out. And we remember Dominique Robinson was playing wide receiver. He had played edge rusher for a year. Austin Booker really only had 1 year of legit college success, but he's been playing edge rusher his entire life. It's not like he transitioned from another position. So he knows the position better than what Dominique Robinson did. So this one is, again, a huge upside pick. And I mean, I don't know. Because of your hole at edge rusher, maybe he is your starting edge rusher, you know, week one. Now, you got to believe that DeMarcus Walker will still be there. But again, the path is there.
I think
for
he will
succeed,
be.
And I'm really excited about the potential that he has.
I think Walker will still be there. And I think you could take this kind of swing on Booker because you feel good about having Montez Sweat there as a mentor to this guy. And similar to how I was talking about, like, oh, yeah, you know, first team all Ivy League in three games, like that popped to me. It's similar to this. Booker led Kansas in tackles for loss and in sacks as a rotational guy. He wasn't playing every snap. He played like 75% of the snaps, something like that. And he still led the team in tackles for loss, in quarterback hits, in pressures, in sacks. So, again, high upside play. It says to me that Ryan Poles and company were very confident in having a room around that can boost this guy and mentor him. And I think DeMarcus Walker will be the starting edge rusher opposite Montez Sweat come week one. But if Booker is in the rotation, and I think he has all the physical traits to make an impact in week one, at least on a rotational basis. So I really like that pick. I really like that Poles had the conviction to use one of those surplus of picks for next year to get one more this year.
Yeah, and we know how good that defense was last year without a premier edge rusher outside Montez Sweat as well, right? So it's not like, and I don't blame him if they look at this and say, you know, okay, we can risk, you know, taking a shot on this kid in Austin Booker instead of maybe head taking an edge rusher in the third round, or, you know, taking Dallas Turner or Laiatu Latu, who are both available in the first round, right? Or trading down and doing one of those things. I think they looked at their defense and said, hey, we're already this good. We don't necessarily need a Dallas Turner or a Jared Verse to make us better. And real quick, before we head out here, just, you know, let's touch on Torrey Taylor too. You know, obviously people are really excited about this because it's kind of funny, right? Drafting a punter in the fourth round is just like a funny narrative, but he legitimately is like the best punter to come out of the draft. But to me, I'm not going to give you a punting breakdown on Torrey Taylor. I'm not going to do that.
Let's put it this way. Everyone said all accounts are that Torrey Taylor was the best offensive weapon that Iowa football had.
Yes.
So over the last couple of years. So like that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he's not going to get much time with the Bears because they're going to be scoring on every possession with the offense that we have. So he's not going to be punting a lot. I love that text that Caleb Williams sent to Torrey Taylor saying, hey, welcome. But Very funny. But that's what I mean when I talk about, boy, oh, boy, is freezing cold takes probably building up the ammo if things don't work out.
100%, obviously.
Caleb Williams. But what it tells you is just that don't Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham have belief that this roster is good if you're taking a punter in the fourth round? Like, does that not tell you everything you need to know? Like, if they're willing to just say, yeah, we'll take the punter in the fourth round, that they're happy with what they have.
It's a team, expects to compete. It's a team that says, all right, we can afford to use a fourth round pick here because this guy is the best of the best. And we feel in special teams is a weapon that has always been the Chicago Bears mantra. So it makes sense.
It makes total sense. And I think you really start to have this conversation. We won't do this today, but we can do it another time. Like, if you want to include special teams, Carl Santos has been among the most consistent kickers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Not a huge leg, but nails anything under 50 yards.
Yep.
The Bears are up there in the NFL with the most complete, with special teams, most complete rosters in the league. We know their defense is top five talent-wise. We know their offense, we just said, has the ability to be top eight talent-wise. And their special teams, if Torrey Taylor's a god, can be top five as well. Most complete rosters in the NFL, Chicago Bears are up there. I will die on that hill. So what the Bears have done here, this is my closing statement for you, Jake, and I said this on my Instagram story in a little video I made because I was so hyped after the reaction of the draft. Like, the Bears have 8 picks next year. What is being built here is different than what's been built in the past, and it really is the stuff of dynasties. And obviously, there's a million different things that have to happen if the Bears want to become a dynasty. But what they have built has put them in the position to achieve that. Mm-hmm. And this is rare and it's unique. And of course, everything has to go perfect. You have to hit on every little thing if you want to become the Kansas City Chiefs and you want to become the New England Patriots. And Caleb Williams has to be phenomenal. But the way that they have built this team from a fundamental standpoint gives you reason to believe that they are set up, not just this year, but for the next 10 years. And I got to say, it is going to be a very, very good decade for the Chicago Bears. And I don't think we will be picking in the top 20 in the draft for the foreseeable future. So this is a huge, huge moment. And I'm astonished by the way Ryan Poles has turned this roster around this quickly. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, if it works out and if Caleb Williams ends up being the guy, then the way that this all came together in such a short time will be talked about for a long time. So we'll see how that goes. But I believe we get schedule release next week, right? So we will be back at some point for that. We'll go over the schedule. We'll break it down game by game. We did it a little bit a couple months ago, but now that we'll know week by week how it's going to shake out, we'll do that in our next episode. So whenever that drops is when we'll be back. But until then, this has been Bears Nation Podcast. Appreciate all the listeners and the viewers. As always, you guys are the best. Comment section was super active today. That was great. But for myself, for Kevin, this has been Bears Nation Podcast. We'll see you when the schedule drops. And as always, bear down.